This is another piece from Presence. It's the wheelchair piece.
This is Brian. Call me the devil in his hole gardener, coming to you from Ramblon Towers Dungeon Studio in scenic Hesper, Ontario. And you are listening to the Ramblon Radio episode 103 on the Off the Cuff Podcasting Network. Ramblon Radio is the only Led Zeppelin podcast in this or any other known internets. Be sure to go to RamblonRadio.com for all your Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links I might mention during the show. You can subscribe to Ramblon Radio through iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And by that I mean, yeah, if you're in iTunes, even if you're, you know, downloading, you're there for your new Taylor Swift, just jump over to Ramble on Radio, do a quick search, it comes up first or second under the podcast, and give a review, leave a few stars. I think there's some tabs, there's three tabs at the top, the middle one is rate this or something like that. It may even be C reviews or something. But once you're there, you can drop some stars and then leave a review. So pop over, leave a review. It just helps iTunes to recognize we're out here. The more reviews you get, the higher you get classified in their system. You can check us out on Podbean at I Am Brian Dammit. Listen on Spreaker. And if you're on Spreaker, if you happen to be on Spreaker anyway, or you have to sign up, then follow Ramble on Radio on Spreaker. And if enough people follow, you know, every once in a while I submit an episode for iHeartRadio, hoping to get the show on iHeartRadio. And the more followers on Spreaker, that helps a lot because Spreaker's owned by iHeartRadio. And also check us out on YouTube at Ramble on Radio. I was actually thinking of recording this one, but it didn't work out. We do have some old episodes recorded on video, and you can see what I look like and stuff. Also, follow Ramble on Radio on Facebook, Google+, and at Ramble on Blog on Twitter. I must say the Twitter action has been, I guess I've been using it more maybe lately, but it really seems to be building up, growing there. Okay, the intro. The intro was August 4th, 1979. The boys were in Nebworth, England. We're going to talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. And this was the first of two shows, the big old Nebworth shows. And that was Achilles' Last Stand. Because on the same date in 1975, August 4, 1975, Robert Plant was in his car accident in the island of Rhodos, Greece. There was a tour scheduled for the second half of 1975 in the States, starting later in August, actually, through August and September. And that was obviously canceled. The band kind of settled into L.A. A variety of things seemed to happen, including, it appears during that time, Jimmy Page's personal issues developed and got worse, I guess is the... And then, of course, you know, Plant was, it was kind of the first of a number of things that happened to Plant that, at the end of the day, it was the start of the end of Led Zeppelin that day in Greece. And, I found this funny this week. There was a, And I do Achilles Last Stand because I assume everybody listening to this knows what Achilles Last Stand is about. Achilles Last Stand is about that car accident. In 1975, on the American tour, Robert Plant had been interviewed in Los Angeles, and a photographer came and was taking shots, and he was on his hotel balcony overlooking a billboard for Physical Graffiti. And he kind of spread his arms out and yelled, "I am a golden god." And this made a lot of the press, and it was mocked heavily, and, you know, it was seen as a bit arrogant. And I think he was having some fun, and it was probably a bit arrogant as well, because, you know, Robert Plant, look, if you were Robert Plant, night circa 1975, and you feeling just a little bit like you're a little better than everybody else. So he's the golden god. And then he goes to Greece and gets taken down by the ankle. And anybody who knows the story of Achilles was a Greek god who was considered, he was a warrior and considered undefeatable. He had no weakness. Well, he took an arrow in his ankle, specifically the heel. That bone part in between, or fleshy part where the bone is, that runs between the back of your leg and your heel. And that's called an Achilles heel. And that's why it's called that, because Achilles. And that took down Achilles. That was his weakness. So the reference of Achilles, Robert Plant in 1976, after the whole Golden God episode and a car accident in Greece that broke his ankle. There's a lot of irony in that. And Robert Plant recognized that, and that's real irony, not Alanis Morissette style irony. don't say bad things about other artists. I know. That's not what this is about. So Robert wrote the piece about, you know, I mean, it's about the irony. It's the story of how they, you know, went from on top of the world to not on top of the world, in Robert Plant's own cryptic way. And I mention all that because there was this article came out last week, maybe about 10 days ago, and it rated all 74 Led Zeppelin songs ranked from worst to best. By the way, I had to Google this, and I found articles entitled "All 80 Led Zeppelin Songs Ranked Worst to First," "All 74 Led Zeppelin Songs Ranked Worst to First," and "All 70 Led Zeppelin songs rank worst to best." So this is "All 74 Led Zeppelin songs rank worst to best" by Bill Wyman in Vulture.com. Not bass player for the Rolling Stones, Bill Wyman, apparently somebody else. And Bill Wyman does not like, quite a long article beforehand, and then I got to 63. 63 was Achilles' Last Stand. Bill Wyman does not like Presence, period, end of story. And all songs on Presence wind up in that. I think Achilles' Last Stand at number 63 is the top of the Presence songs, to be honest. So, which is to say, the worst 10 songs, you know, 5 of them are from Presence or something like that. Which is fine, by the way. A, there is going to be, we could all put together, we could call our, if we took all Led Zeppelin songs, all 74 of them, and rank them. This is the best, the second best, third best. Something's going to be at 63, something's going to be at 74. This is a taste issue. That's fine. But here's what he says about Achilles' Last Stand. This was the lead track to the follow-up to the mind-blowing Physical Graffiti. The guitar solo, and worse, the guitar sounds are pallid. And good Lord, quote, what is Plant singing about? The title is obviously a reference to ancient Greece, but we get a name check for New York early on. That's something about Albion, which is a fancy pants word for England. Docked a half a dozen notches for being interminable. So I just told you what it's about. Here's the thing. If you don't know what Achilles, if you don't know who Achilles is, it's not a name check ancient Greece. It's a name check an ancient Grecian god. If you don't know who Achilles is, you probably shouldn't be writing 4,000 word pieces in any magazine. If you don't know what Achilles' Last Stand is about, if you don't get that reference, you shouldn't be writing 4,000 word pieces about Led Zeppelin in any magazine. Title to your opinion. But good Lord, man, you're getting paid good money for this. At least have opinion that has some bearing and knowledge. So, Bill Wyman, you're a fool. A fool, I say, a fool. So anyway, that was August 4, 1970. By the way, this is Wednesday, August 5th. I'm recording this. You will probably hear it on the 6th. So August 4th. And by the way, this is something I'm going to start trying to do, is build in to the podcast what happened on this week. I'm still kind of sorting out where I'm going to get my information from and all. But I want, you know, I've got to create a comprehensive, or get my hands on a comprehensive Led Zeppelin on this day sort of thing. And I know Steve, my pal, Steve Sauer, did one for a long time and still does that sort of work for, get Carol Miller's Get the Lead Out. So I will probably get in touch with him and see if I can have access to his database. But beyond that, you know, yeah, I need to get something that I can put together that I can look at. Okay, this week was this. And pull one or two items especially of interest out. And a lot of the podcasts are about, you know, this last year, I try to do on the fives and tens, right? So realistically, this week should be all about Robert Plant's car accident. Only I didn't pick up until yesterday that that's what it was. And we have all these other things going on. But that would naturally be 35 years, or what is it, 35 years? Yeah. No, 40 years since he had that car accident. It would have been a natural outgrowth. Nebworth I did last year at the 35th anniversary. So I try to do the fives and tens, but it's worth mentioning in between what's going on, and it allows for, you know, and I'm going to try on the intro bootleg, you know, a minute of bootleg material from sometime in history of that week. Just so you know, a little change that's coming. A little one. But so Nebworth happened 36 years ago. I talk a lot about it last year at this time. I should see, this is the stuff I should have prepared ahead of time, isn't it? But I should be able to tell you which episode it was. That only makes sense, doesn't it? But I do have a list. Not comprehensive, because I didn't start it right away. And so it's 2014 in August. Nebworth 1 and 2, episode 68. So if you can find episode 68, and if anybody really, really wants to hear episode 68, let me know, email me. I can at least email it to you. Maybe I can put it up. And we can, you know, I can get it to you. And like I said last time, nobody took me up on the offer of about $20 to get 100 episodes on a USB, and I'll mail it to you for that price. But I could do that if somebody wants that. And I'm working on, I am thinking about spending the $100 to just buy unlimited data. Hey, by the way, last great month of July, obviously. Dave Lewis, and Scarlett Page, and thank you both of those people for their wonderful interviews. I was tickled pink, as I said last week, to do Scarlett Page, and by the way, did you notice I called her Charlotte once? I think I didn't do it when I was interviewing. I did it after, and it's in my mind. I do this almost consistently. Charlotte's her mother. So she's Scarlett Page. If you pick that up, oops. I actually got notification that I was at 98%. By the end of the month, I was at 98% upload limit. Another 2 days in the month, and I would have been shut down for the rest of the month, sort of thing. I hit 98%, which is great. I mean, if you're going to give you X number of upload limit, use it all. But I might be getting to the point where I have to start actually investing some money in server space and whatnot. And if I do that, then I will try and get all the episodes back up. And if you want to help me do that, PayPal is the way. Ramble on at briangardner.ca in PayPal. And I'm going to be sorting out the webpage, because I'm getting rid of the Amazon links. I get nothing out of them. And I actually went to buy, I didn't tell everybody this, I went to buy the box set for Led Zeppelin 2. It advertises $100 on the page. I think it was even less. I advised people on this podcast, grab it now while it is. And then they changed the price and dropped my order because they said, we made a mistake. And I don't care. That was the, you know, we made a transaction. I really don't care if you made a mistake. And so I consider that highly unethical. So I'm displeased with Amazon in the first place. Now they're changing how they do their ads. I'm going to have to do a ton of work to straighten up all my old ads. And I would rather just not do business with people who change prices change prices on the fly. And I'm not getting any money. It's not like I'm getting $500 or $600 a year off Amazon. And, oh, there's a sacrifice to be made. I've been, you know, I've had links up for years and years. And I've never seen a penny. I probably have, maybe about $20 banked. So for the next month, say, that's all going to happen. That's going to get pulled down. I'm going to put up a big PayPal thing. And if you want to help contribute to server space and whatnot, even $5 or $10 would help. And we'll get that done. Excuse me a second while the cat gets set outside. Unbelievable. Do you have cats? Oh, God, they're a pain. Of course, then there's the Dave Lewis interview with the dog barking on the floor above me and banging and stuff. Just trying to do a podcast here, people. Anyway, so that's some of the technical stuff going on. I got a little off track there. So, yeah, we're at... So, Nebworth number one happened. I say episode 64 is the one to get at. Is that what I called it? See how good I am at remembering stuff? It was 68, not 64. Episode 68 is the Nebworth one from last year. Lots of details on there. There's a book by Dave Lewis on Nebworth called Then As Now, I think. I forget what it's called offhand. But if you go to the Facebook page, I did post a link to it yesterday. He's offering a special deal on the book right now. And it's an excellent book. It's one of those books I just curl up with for an afternoon and enjoy. It's got lots of pictures and lots of fan pictures, not professional pictures. It's got the fan pictures all over. So it's a really good book. It's a really enjoyable read. And the bottom line is, in the middle of the punk movement, Led Zeppelin took over England for a few weeks. And the 100-some-odd thousand people went to see them. Opened the New Barbarians, Keith Richards and Ronnie Wood's band opened the show, as well as, I'm trying to think, Todd Rundgren's Utopia, I think Commander Cody and the Lost Planet Airmen. I know the band wanted Little Feat and couldn't get them. Little Feat, if you'd never checked them out, by the way, are an exceptional band and really worth checking out. And they played a full, 3.5-4 hour set. I was reading yesterday. It must have been on Dave Lewis's page. Somebody talking about Achilles' Last Stand and how it was the moment when they decided it was the real test. You know, once they broke out Achilles, could they still play? Were they still good enough? And Achilles was the test song. And that somewhere in the middle of Achilles, you can see it on their face. They look at each other, and there's that moment of, oh yeah, here it is. Which I suppose is probably true. I know one of my favorite moments in video, of Led Zeppelin video, happens in Achilles at one of the Nebworth shows. And I think it's the second one. But Page is off, way off stage, left playing. And he goes to walk over to where Robert's singing. And he runs out of guitar cable. So he walks over to his pedal board and he kicks the pedal board. Like 20 feet off to the right. And then he's got enough guitar cable. Because the guitar is plugged into the pedal board, of course. But pedal boards are normally kind of anchored to the stage or in spot somewhere. And he was just kicking it around the stage. And whatever he has to do to make it happen. That was what made these guys so good in a way. It was, I'm not going to anchor myself to the pedal board. I'm not going to anchor the pedal board to the floor and then not be able to go somewhere. And they made things work for them. And they were very comfortable on a stage, I guess is the point. They felt very at home there, obviously. When you see stuff like that, you know that. You know that is true. Okay, so we have much to talk about. Well, not really. We have, and I'm holding up to the microphone, the last three Led Zeppelin remasters, complete with bonus material. And we've gone through this enough. You guys know what's on it. You really do. I'll pick a few randomly. I will talk over the next month about each of these individually a bit. I will go a little bit about In Through the Outdoor next week, because next week falls into that. In Through the Outdoor was released, maybe it was the week after, whenever. We're getting into the 31 years or whatever since In Through the Outdoor was released. 36 years, I think it is. So, you know, I'll kind of tie that in a bit. Although, again, if you go to August of last year, episode number 69, In Through the Outdoor was discussed. In Through the Outdoor, 35 years was discussed on that, on episode 69. So, again, if you can find it, maybe the bootlegs have it or something, the bootleg sites. But we'll talk about it through that. But I want to talk a little bit about Coda. And here's a question I have. Is Coda now one of the better Led Zeppelin albums? With the bonus material tacked in, does that make Coda better than any of the other Led Zeppelin albums? Ponder on that for a minute. Think your way through it. Ask yourself if it's true. Now, obviously, I have discs falling out and stuff around here. The music, just the pure album on Coda, is no better now than it was two weeks ago. You know, and just like the Led Zeppelin 4 is still... So the original albums, no. Coda still, in my mind, is number 9, with a long way down from what number 8 would be. You know, I kind of have 4 or 5 of the albums that I think are top tier. And then another couple that are, I like a lot even. And then Coda. You know, but with all the, if you tack in the bonus material, so if you consider Led Zeppelin 4 to be a Led Zeppelin 4 plus the Led Zeppelin 4 bonus material, is Coda now up in the mix with the other stuff? Is it now that much better now that it has... Hey, hey, what can I do in it? And, because I don't need my glasses for this. But I don't see my glasses, so that's not going to happen. So now that, you know, if it keeps on raining, the great, great, great version of When the Levee Breaks, Sugar Mama, Traveling Riverside Blues, Hey, Hey, What Can I Do? Not to mention something like St. Tristan's Sword. Everybody makes it through the light. The two Bombay Orchestra. By the way, there was a little in the intro. There was a little Bombay Orchestra. The intro to Four Sticks was the Indian fella going 1, 2, 3, 4, and I kind of like that, so I stuck it in there in front of Achilles' Last Stand. You'll probably hear a lot of that on this podcast. I just thought it was kind of a cute, charming little thing. But yeah, we tack all that in there. Does this move up in the rankings? And, again, it's opinions. I would say no, really. An odder question, maybe a more honest question is, why wasn't Hey, Hey, What Can I Do included in the first place? It's a far, far better song than a lot of stuff that was on that. And it was a well-known song at the time. It was a hit that was hard to find. It was the B-side to the Immigrant Song single, and the radio stations had taken to playing it for 2 or 3 years before Coda came out. So by throwing it on, I would have been throwing the fans a bit of a bone. Well, we have this song we know you like, so let's throw it on an album for you. Instead, they kind of stick in it, because it really belongs on the 3 bonus material. And I think that's my biggest problem with all this, is some of the best stuff, the bonus material, is on Coda. None of it belongs on Coda. You know, hey, what can I do should be on the third album. No questions asked. That should be on the third album. If it keeps on raining, should be on the fourth album. Never mind that alternate mix that they put on the fourth album of When the Levee Breaks. It's the exact same track, the exact same performances, the exact same microphones. I mean, it's the same off-the-floor recording. They just mixed it differently. They took it to a different studio and twiddled the knobs a little differently at the end process. Which is fine. Except you had a better version in the bank. You had a more interesting version in the bank. And that would have been far better to put with four. That would have been far more, I want to say honest. And I think that's the right word, actually. To me, this is a bit dishonest. Now you have to go buy Coda. You know why I'm buying Coda? Because it's got that, you know, otherwise, my first thought was, I don't even know why I would buy the Coda CD. Why would I even buy it? You know when the last time I listened to Coda was? Well, last night, but you know what I mean. Pull out the record and listen to Coda. Been ages, ages, up until this summer. This summer I've listened to it a few times because. But I bet you I listened to it once a year. Maybe. And I bet you there was a 10-year period when I didn't listen to it. Nowadays I listen to it once a year. Nowadays I listen to a lot more Led Zeppelin than I did 15 years ago. So, yeah, to me, maybe the Indian stuff, that's an interesting Coda mix instead of, because it's songs from, yeah, it's a session that happened after the fourth album, and it's songs from the fourth album, third album. So maybe it makes sense, okay, Four Sticks and Friends from the Abon Bay session. It's interesting, Sword really belongs on the third album. Yeah, and I could see that the Bring It On Home probably belongs on the second album. And I could easily, I mean, you want to play this game, and I don't know that you want to. Actually, I don't have the bonus disc for the second album. That's how much I liked it. So the Bring It On Home might have been an interesting, maybe I'd have spent the extra $2. But, you know, there was stuff like Out in the Tiles, instrumental track on the third album. Well, it wasn't really that interesting. You know what I mean? Compared to St. Tristan's Sword. I think, but Coda is, in terms of the bonus material, by far the best. By far the best. And if you're going to listen to all of these albums, bonus material, and if you're going to throw the album on and listen to it all, Coda's now well into the mix of albums. Would it be, I don't know. See, your mileage may vary. I may pick an album that I'm not nuts on, i.e. the second album, and then take the second album and the bonus material on the second album, which again, I was so interested in, it's the only one of the CDs I didn't buy, the bonus, the deluxe edition. And I'd say, well, maybe Coda's now up there with the second album. And you're going to go, it's your favorite album. It's the greatest album ever. It's got a whole lot of love on it. It's got What Is and What Should Never Be on it. It's got the original Bring It On. It's a fabulous album. And I would have a hard time arguing with you. Ultimately. But at the same time, to my mind, that's to my taste. How's that for a better word? To my taste, that isn't so far, that's not so crazy anyway. Let's put it that way. I don't know if it's right, and it probably isn't. But there are people who think Coda's a great album. I just don't happen to be one of them. But it's a lot better album now than it was. The bonus material is really, some of it's outstanding. Some of it's truly, utterly outstanding. And I should actually be pulling out my iPod here. This is probably easier to read everything on this, isn't it? So, and one of the things I wanted to talk about was, let's see, where are we at? Yeah, if it keeps on raining, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I heard that at the at the listening session, and I was blown away with it there. And I've still it's made its way into my running set list already. Of all the bonus material, of all the songs that have come up in the bonus material, it's the best of the bonus, in my opinion. Mileage may vary. Then, but of course, that doesn't really include "Hey Hey What Can I Do," because "Hey Hey What Can I Do" is not new. So of all the new stuff that's come out, how's that? Everybody Makes It Through the Light is, you know what, I've heard that, I've listened to it once or twice. I have to listen to that again. The Bombay, The Four Hands, and Friends, I like, but I don't love. St. Tristan's Sword, I really wish they had done something with this. It is, what a great groove. You know, it's really, there's something there. I'm listening to that. It's a groove that got stuck in my head, you know, and I'd be listening to it going, I could see where this go. I would love to have heard Plant put it together. I would love to have heard something interesting done with that. It's a great, great, great musical piece. And I would love to have heard it pieced together and completed. I think there's something there. Let's put it that way. And it's one I really enjoy. Things like Traveling Riverside Blues, we've heard. Baby Come On Home. Hey, there was for Badge Holders Only, somebody said, actually after this Zeppelin Worst to First list came up, somebody said, so what is your least favorite Zeppelin song? And a lot of people were talking about Sugar Mama. Boy, I'd put Baby Come On Home on that list fast. There's a song I really kind of go, eh. That's mediocre at best. Sugar Mama, at least to me, they're punching it out there. They're really, you know, they're doing something. They're jamming it. It's, let's face it, that's a jam. And if Plant took a little time with some words there, made it a little more interesting, it could be something decent. But Baby Come On Home isn't very good. Interesting what you think of Bonzo's Mantra construction in progress. If you're like me, you really have to listen to the two back to back to get that, oh, there's a big difference there. But there is quite a difference in the way they have treated the drums. It's the same session, by the way, and it's the same drum sounds and all that. It's just, it's the way they're filtered through the processes. So there you go. That's Coda anyway. I'm gonna drop off the Coda talk. So I have not got any of the boxes yet. I planned on it. I didn't. I'm really looking at getting the In Through the Outdoor box. I'm really excited about the In Through the Outdoor box, probably more than most of the other boxes. And I'll talk more about In Through the Outdoor next week or the week after. We'll cover these, both of these albums, Presence and In Through the Outdoor, over the next couple of weeks. Specifically, of course, the bonus material. But worth mentioning that I like the way the stuff in Through the Outdoor is kind of less adorned, maybe less effects on it, and cleaner and clearer sounding. I'm just looking at, for the first time, I'm looking at the inside of Presence. Great picture of Plant and Page just rocking out on the 77 tour. That looks good. Yeah, good pictures in there. I do like, as we talked about, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, the 10 Ribs Carrot Pod Pod. I'm still trying to decide whether there's any relationship between that and All My Love, whether that grew and developed that way. I'm not as convinced as I was before, as I was on first listen. But any piano players out there, have you figured it out yet? It would be interesting to see. Anyway, we're going to talk about that stuff in the next couple of weeks. That's I'll leave that to be, and it give me a better chance to. Because I've really put a lot of thought into this stuff at this stage, other than the coda. Because I knew I wasn't going to be on this week. That makes sense. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening the last little while. Like I say, last week was sensational. The last 2 weeks, I guess, a lot of people have been downloading. I'm hitting my download limit. There was some chat on Twitter about it, about the episode 102. I was just tickled pink by all the response and kind of made the decision it's time to double down and really start pushing this thing a little harder and seeing what the next step is for it. And I want to thank everybody who listens regularly. It's just... it's a lot of fun to do, and it's a lot of fun to talk to you, and I appreciate that you all enjoy it. So that's it. That's it for Ramble on Radio, episode 103. Check rambleonradio.com for notes on this week's podcast, Led Zeppelin news and reviews, and any links mentioned in today's podcast. Follow Ramble on Radio on Facebook, Google+, and at Ramble on Blog on Twitter. And talk to me on Twitter, folks. Talk to me on Facebook. I'm there, and I'm trying to be more engaged in that stuff. You can subscribe to Ramble on Radio through iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. It helps. It helps with where iTunes places the podcast. Listen on Spreaker, and if you're a member on Spreaker, be sure to follow Ramble on Radio and check it out at Ramble on Radio on YouTube. Thanks for listening to Ramble on Radio, episode number 103. Keep it cool and babies.
Internet forums telling me what I'm doing.
Switch off the internet.